Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Robbie Rash from Cigar Federation here with you as always. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Cigar Chat. We're happy to have you with us on this, I guess we can call it a holiday weekend. Logan, it's Thursday, but we're getting close enough to a holiday weekend, right?
I think we're like, well, technically one day away.
Yeah, but don't most people take that Friday off?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm taking Friday off.
Half day at least.
Yeah, you got to take the Friday off. I actually have to take my dog in to get a bunch of teeth extracted tomorrow. Wow. So that's it's going to be a rough day for Ruby. That's that. But anyway, we are here today with we're joined by Renee Castaneda of Villiger Cigars. Renee, thanks for taking the time, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys for having me over here. It's always fun.
Yeah, yeah. We're happy to have you on the show, and I'm I'm smoking the Sandoro Colorado. And
nice.
You guys, this one came out last year at IPCPR, I believe.
Yeah, we did one at the IPCPR.
Yeah, that was last year.
And I'm smoking the Maduro, the Brazilian one. I'm sorry.
Oh, the Maduro.
The Maduro.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, I've smoked the Connecticut, which I enjoyed, and we'll have a review coming up on SigFed pretty soon. This is the first Colorado, which is the Habano wrapper, Nicaraguan Habano. And the Maduro's got the Brazilian wrapper on it. Logan, have you smoked any of them? I know you got samples, but I don't know if you've had a chance to smoke them yet.
Dude, I've been under the gun.
No, but listen,
sorry, go ahead, Renee.
I suck, Rob. Thanks for calling it out, Rob. Appreciate it.
Well, how was I supposed to know? I had no. You get the samples. Dude, I assume you smoke them. Go ahead, Renee.
Based on before the show and the way that I acted, it didn't sound like I would have known. Would have smoked them.
No, maybe I did throw you under the bus. It felt kind of good. Getting the weekend.
Total bus driver. I mean, the yellow bus, the diesel version is running me over. And I'm.
It's got the double wheels in the back?
Oh, dude. It has the dualies on that.
Yeah.
That's, backing it up.
Yeah, that was the one. That was boom, 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 boom. That was lugging under the bus. What were you going to say, Renee? I'm sorry.
No, listen, that he was going to have the weekend to smoke them. You know, you have 3-4 days to catch
up,
man.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be hot down there in Texas, I bet. No?
No, it's probably 100.
Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah, it's been around 102, 103 here lately too, which is that puts me in my crabby pants as well. So, it's hopefully going to cool down into the mid 90s, which will be nice for a little barbecue.
Rob, where are you?
I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, just a little bit to the East Bay is the area that I'm in. So I'm a little bit insulated from that marine layer. San Francisco's pretty cool for the most part. We're a good 25 degrees, 30 degrees hotter over here usually, especially during the summer. Yeah, during the winter, it's a little bit more negligible. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We want to talk about Villiger. We haven't had someone from Villiger on for a while, so... So we'll catch up, and obviously we kind of need to jump in and talk about the elephant in the room here, what went down with Villiger in December of last year. We're not going to get into the details of it, but if you want to read up on that, I'm sure you can find some info online. But Matt Rosenthal, one of our mods at SigFed, he wants to know kind of what your approach is. He says, with everything that went down with Villiger's North American operations, and Villiger has a large presence in Europe as well, but the North American operations, before you came on board, there was a lot of people let go and things of that nature. How do you plan to work to repair relationships with both customers and retailers who, had a pretty bad experience based on some things that went down with you guys? This is before you were there, and this is kind of, without any other way to put it, really your mess that you kind of have to clean up now. So
absolutely. That's the reason that they fixer.
they called in the wolf.
No, listen, the situation was that at that point, Villiger Europe decided to pull out of the U.S. and because they weren't getting their, any evolution as a brand and as a company in the U.S. They felt like, the company wasn't fitting right with the U.S. market. And that was a decision at the end of the year. They were pulling out completely from the U.S. a good friend of mine that happens to be the vice president of Habanos told me, "Mr. Billiger, I might have the person that could give you a chance, you know, to survive and to do something in the U.S." So that's how I got dumped into the mess. Like, okay, Rene, this is the situation. We just fired everybody. So what do we do here? So at that point, it was, okay, let's try to define what we have. What are we going to build for the future? And trying to use, listen, I have 18 years in the business. I've been doing this for a while. I've been traveling all over the U.S. I think that I have some good relationships with the retailers. And in a way, I was using my credibility and my relationships to try to put something together for Billiger. I took on the challenge because I think Billiger is a great company. It's an extreme worldwide. Unfortunately, that's not the situation in the U.S. If you take a look, it's 1.5 billion cigars sold, you know, worldwide. And in the U.S., it's just, it's not even 1% of that for the company. So being like the fifth largest cigar company and not even having a presence on the largest market in the world, say like, okay, let me take a look at this because this sounds like an interesting challenge for such a company being so big and not to have a real, you know, presence on that. Part of the challenge or part of what we're trying to do, or at least my approach to this, is I'm working with the history of the company, and I'm open and covered the company. I didn't see any cohesive message, you know, with the brand. I saw the brand like all over the place. You cannot deny the identity. This is a company that makes a premium machine made cigars. When you go to the segment of the premium machine made cigars, our position is that we're the premium of those. And in on the handmade cigars, the company was all over the place with different brands that didn't bring the whole identity together. At least that was my perception. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason, like, hey, listen, let's work with the history of this company. There's a rich history. There is tobacco. There is relationships. And there is resources to do, you know, a long-term work on this. And that was part of the commitment. Like, see if we can turn this around in 2 years. I asked for 2 years trying to turn things around. It's not easy because then when you start working on, let me try to put this plan together, and 3 months into the plan, you get the FDA throwing the bump that the market is about to change. So now you have to revisit the plan and see what is it that we're going to be doing for the future. So that was how I got into this part. Yes. It was just, I'm going to put it this, it was a ugly decision done the right way, but the company was on the way out and they needed to shut down the U.S. That was the reason that all this happened. And the timing was awful because it was close to the holidays, but it was just a business decision. The company, listen, as a business, lost $2 million last year in the U.S. market. So that was the reason that they needed to shut down. It was $2 million in the red.
Yeah, that's excuse me. That's tough, and it's a tough situation. I don't want to get too involved into the decision making portion of that because you weren't there. I wasn't involved in it. So I mean, I know it impacted a lot of folks, but it does give you a pretty steep hill that you have to climb up. And like you said, you throw in the kind of, I guess you'd call it a curveball from the FDA, even though we all knew it was kind of coming. That just gives you that extra bump in that hill that you have to go up. So, like you touched on, for the most part, the bulk of Villiger's sales around the country are machine-made cigars, correct?
Yes.
So,
and again, in that part, we have a lot of room to grow. The company is just starting on that machine-made segment. So just on that one, at least the base of the, let's make sure that we increase the distribution of the machine made. Let's find some new ways, some new partners to do that one. And then at the same time, we start building a good or a great, you know, handmade cigar. I'm a very pragmatic guy. You know, for me, it's 1 + 1, it has to be 2. There's no other way around. I'm very, you know, we have talked before. I'm very technical. I don't pretend to be a master blender. I'm not a master blender. I only know 3 kinds of cigars, the ones that sell, the ones that don't sell, and the ones that I like. So it's pretty basic. So I'm just trying to fine tune all the details to make sure that the brands work. You know, my work has always been more marketing and distribution. And I always tell the people think that I'm involved in, you know, creating blends and all that. Not, you know, but I know what the market, the trends of the market, what the market's looking for. And we try to be very focused on, or at least I do my homework to understand why the people, why would they buy? You know, when you go to a cigar shop and you see a customer in front of two cigar boxes, they don't think this box is made by a powerful company in Europe or a 500, you know, Fortune 100 company, or this is made by a pop and mom company in Miami or in Esteli. They don't think about that. So there is a different rationale when you're buying this product, and you have to pay attention to those details to see what is it that drives the people to buy the cigars that they buy. You see the people. You never see people, wow, I'm going to buy this cigar because it's made by this humongous company. No, you don't think about that.
You know, I don't know. I don't normally do this. This is usually Logan's role, but I don't know if I buy that. I mean, and I know that there's research done and marketing research and all this and that. I'll just speak for myself, and I'll talk about craft beer as opposed to cigars.
Yeah.
If I go into my local bottle shop and I'm looking at a few things, and there happens to be a company that I know that, you know, a couple years ago was bought out by InBev, and they're completely 100% run by
Goose Island.
Run by, or you could even say like Ballast Point. They were bought out by Constellation. Things like that. And Elysium. The list goes on and on. I don't begrudge a company for selling out. I would love to sell out. I would love to have a product that I make that's good enough to sell out. Absolutely. But does that really impact my decision? If I'm deciding I'm going to buy one beer, and I've got an Elysium in one hand that I know was bought out, and a High Water Brewing, which is a local company, which one am I going to pick? Is that going to impact my decision? For me, it does.
What I meant with that part was this, you know, at least based on what I understand from the market, that most of the consumers are casual smokers. They don't study, they don't read, they don't look at it. So-and-so that Jay Cortez was acquiring last week. They don't know any of that. They walk to the tobacco shop, they're looking for a pleasure for the weekend. Let me grab some cigars. Let me get the heck out of here. So what makes you drive to buy this or that?
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I think that
that's the most. And I usually try to use this example when I was looking at, like, why the people didn't respond so well to sign the petition for the CRA, you know, for the FDA. You know, I don't know if you saw. When you saw the people signing the petition, the last time I checked, the signatures went up to, like, 18,000, you know, signatures. Yeah. Far from the 100,000 they needed for that one. And somebody asked me, and I don't know if I'm right, but my answer was like, this first the demographics. You know, most of the people that we smoke cigars, that show the government that they're completely wrong. Young people, we're not high-tech people. We don't have the phones in the hands. We don't do these type of things. And the other one is we're casual smokers. You know, we just don't know what the heck is going on. We just go and buy. Like, maybe we go to the wine store and buy the bottle of wine and move on. And we're not reading Wine Spectator or reading any of that. We just go and buy whatever we like. Yeah. Or whatever we're impressed with.
Yeah.
That was what I was trying to.
And
you can I get passionate about this.
Yeah, no, and you're probably right. I mean, when we talk about cigar smokers, and Logan, I don't know if you want to chime in on this or not, but we're kind of surrounded by that, what I call that 1% of cigar smokers, the cigar geeks, the cigar nerds that read up on all this stuff, and they. I mean, we've got questions of, you know, why do you use this particular leaf that was grown in this particular valley of Nicaragua? And the average cigar smoker isn't going to ask that question, and you're right.
Absolutely. And again, I think that...
Go ahead.
No, and again, my point was when I saw the signature, I said, like, maybe the 18 people that signed is us, the people that were involved in the social media, in the chat rooms, and in the conversation on that one. That was the reason that the response wasn't so... spectacular, like any other, you know, petitions out there.
Yeah. No, it's we've talked about this when we had Glenn Loop on the show, and I don't want to get too involved into this, but there was one of our one of the members of Cigar Federation went to their, they have like, I guess, five different shops that that they attend locally and purchase cigars from. And four of the five people that they talked to at one at each shop had no idea about the FDA regulations. None whatsoever. So there's, when you start talking about why didn't we get enough signatures, there's a barrier of entry of just knowledge of what's happening. So I know that was poorly said, but I know the point I was trying to make. I think you know it too. But yeah, so
I get it. You know that these didn't make it to the prime time news. You know, so the FDA news, I never saw that in Fox or CNN or anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? But you would think that a guy whose livelihood is based on selling cigars would know that, or at least have some sort of I don't know. We lost Logan, and he's going to try to pop back in, but we're just going to move forward. We've got a bunch of audience questions here.
But listen. Let's think about this. You know, we're cleaning the. In a way, we're trying to organize. It's not cleaning. We're trying to organize our selection of the handmade, the premium handmade cigars, and we're working with great people like Oliva and Joya de Nicaragua in the Dominican Republic. We are working, you know, we have a partnership with a factory in the Dominican Republic in Santo Domingo, and we're going to be working with some our friends in La Aurora, you know, that have been affiliated with La Aurora for many years. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to work on some projects. And again, we're going with factories, of course, that have the history, the tobacco, to be able to deal with all these FDA regulations and to be prepared for the long-term commitment that we want to make to them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So this actually prompts a question from Swede Lindstrom, and he wants to know where are your premium handmade cigars made? And I'm looking at these sample packs that that you guys sent, and actually they're very cool sample packs, and they've got they're humidified packs. I don't know the term I'm trying to use here. They've got a humidifier in them.
Humibags.
Yeah. Humibags. I'm losing it. Like, I don't know. Logan drops off, and I'm all thrown off. But I look at the back here, and there's all these different cigars. I mean, the Villiger 1888 and La Libertad and La Capitana, Nica Roma. Are all those cigars going to continue to be made? I mean, you talked about...
No, not at all. At this point, our top-of-the-line brand will be the Villiger Sandoro. That is, today is made... the Colorado and the Claro are made by Oliva.
Okay.
The Maduro, the one that I'm smoking, is made at our factory. We have a factory, like a kind of like small operation. It's just about 20 rollers that works mainly and exclusively with Brazilian tobacco. The Sandoro Maduro is a Brazilian pure, you know, Matafina, Matanorte, 100% Brazilian tobacco on that. The other two are made by Oliva with, you know, good, you know, the quality of tobacco that Oliva uses in their cigars and their products. And in one, we have the Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper, and the Colorado has an Ecuadorian Habano, kind of like reddish, you know, color on that one. So that's for that selection. We have another group of brands that are made by Joya de Nicaragua. So Joya de Nicaragua makes a good selection of those. Those are our main people in Nicaragua as of today. And we have two products, the Villiger Colorado and Talanga, made by Plasencia.
Okay,
in Nicaragua, too.
Okay, so made all over the place. Now there was one. Now the Brazilian Puro that you've got in the Sandoro line, I haven't smoked that, but is that similar to the blend that was? I know you guys a couple of years ago had a Brazilian Puro as well that was really good, and for the life of me, the name of it is escaping me. If anybody I know we talked about it and we posted a review on SigFed. So if anybody on SigFed knows and you happen to be in the chat room, let me know what the name of that was.
Tabajara,
that one. Is it a similar blend, different cigar, same cigar?
You know, listen, it's also a Brazilian Puro, a different profile, I would say, you know, but it's also using, you know, a Brazilian Puro, and it has a sweet nose and the characteristics of the Brazilian tobacco, but it's a different profile.
Okay.
It's like when you talk about the Villigers, you know, the Sandoro Colorado or the Villiger Colorado, you know, they're two Nicaraguan cigars, but a completely different profile in the cigar. One is made by Oliva, the other one is made by by Plasencia. So, but in that kind of like the similarities in those, we're talking about two Brazilian Puros, but the two of them are a different profile on the smoke.
Okay. All right. Hey, Logan's back. That's exciting. I'm happy to have you back.
Hey.
No, I got all flustered, man. You disappeared, and I couldn't get words out. It was awkward there for a few seconds. I think his internet connection's a little bit slow. So, yes. Just a reminder to our audience: you're listening to Cigar Chat. If you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We've got Rene Castaneda of Villiger Cigars here chatting with us. Logan's popping in and out. This next segment's brought to you by Drew Estate. Logan has the read, so I'm just going to make this up. Drew Diplomat. I am a Drew Diplomat member. If you haven't signed up for Drew Diplomat, you got to go check it out. Download from iPhone Store, Android, wherever you download your apps from. Really cool app, and you can just you can win a bunch of Drew Estate prizes. So check out the Drew Diplomat app. So let's see. I want to move forward here. And so as that list of cigars and things that you were talking about, you were saying that you didn't want to use the word cleaning house, but you're getting a little bit more aligned with what you want your premium handmade.
Yes,
cigar.
You know, listen, I want to create identity for the Billiger as a brand. So That's the reason that we have given as private labels the Cabarete and the Trill to our friends at Holtz. La Capitana is handled now by Thompson. So we went to the internet powerhouses and we worked with them to give the blinds that we wanted to have like private label, but not as the core, you know, part of core lines of Billiger, to make sure that we have to create a real Billiger brand and for the people to place the identity on that one. We will be working more projects with the Joya de Nicaragua. And again, you know, the vision behind this is we're looking for partners that have the history, the background, and the tobacco to help us to navigate through the FDA, you know, regulations. So that's the reason that you see me talking about, you know, guys like Joya. Unfortunately, we won't work with Oliva only this project, but Joya de Nicaragua is becoming a great close partner to us in order to develop new blends and new stuff before all these regulations get in place. And the same goes with the guys at La Aurora. And also we work, we have a partnership in the Dominican Republic. It's the only factory in Santo Domingo, not in Santiago, in Santo Domingo. Yeah. It's called Aban. And the makers of a good portion of the cigars that we sell in Europe on the handmade side is people think that it's a Billiger factory, but no, it's owned by Matias Maragotto. It's just that they happen to have like 80% of their production is products for on the handmade side for Billiger cigars.
Okay. So part of that strategy is to really align yourself with companies and factories that have a really good foothold in the industry. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. The idea is to, in a way, borrow from their ability as a cigar makers, to have products that people can identify, you know, as a factory, and to give more substance and identity to our products. That's the key on that one. We're looking for factories that are strong, that they be well known, and they have a lot of credibility in the market.
Okay. So with this this Sandoro line, again, I'm smoking the Nicaraguan Habano, the Colorado, and it's pretty good. It's a little light. I would think for a Nicaraguan Habano wrap cigar, it's kind of on the milder side for me. It's got some good flavor to it, some nice creaminess. What's the price point on these?
We're talking about $8 to $9. It has a Robusto, a Toro, and a Churchill. So it goes from $8 to $9 on the retail price.
Okay. Cool, yeah, I'm curious.
And the same for the Claro and the Maduro. They all have the same price point. Mm-hmm. Just that in the Maduro, the Brazilian, we only make them in the Toro size.
Oh, okay.
Again, okay. It's more a matter for production, the production capabilities that we have at the factory in Brazil.
Okay. Oh, yeah, like you said, you only have 20 rollers, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's... So 20 rollers, they're pumping out about how many cigars a day?
Wow, good question. I really don't have an answer for that one, but we're making about 100,000 cigars of these Sandoros.
Okay.
And right now, yes. That's what we have over there. Remember that we also have the operation over there is to make sure that we also have the acquisition and the control of the tobacco leaf that we buy in Brazil to use for, you know, our machine blend. So it serves two purposes, that over there, make the cigars, and also the acquisition of good tobacco from Brazil for our blend.
So in that factory with those 20 rollers, they're just making the Sandoro Maduro, or are they making something else too?
Just the Sandoro Maduro and the top.
Oh, okay, cool.
And just those two. They don't make any machine made. The machines are only made in Europe and yeah, pretty much in Switzerland and Germany.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I want to have to give that one a shot. Tracy Drew has a question, and I'll paraphrase his question here. He's curious. He hasn't smoked a lot of your cigars. They say he smoked one or two in the past. But he's never felt the need to like go out and seek out more. He wants to know what you guys plan to do in the future as far as, you know, different releases, things that are coming up to reinvigorate that interest for a guy who's maybe tried a couple of your cigars, wasn't too fired up, but now you've got some new stuff coming out. What's this new stuff and how are you going to take that and try to use it to create new Villiger customers?
Listen, the ideas I told you, first we're going to borrow from the capability of well-established manufacturers. So that way, you know, we use great tobacco and great blends and their skills as blenders, you know, to create a good blend for the market that goes more in tune with the U.S. market. I think the company, one of the position company was that the blends were too much catered to the European market than to the U.S. market. So that's the reason that we're going, you know, to factories that could help us to create those blends that create more identity and connection with the U.S. market. Of course, we're going to be doing a lot of, you know, what we're doing with you, connecting with the people, doing the events, being out there, do some advertisement, do the social media part to show the people and to walk them through. We're not planning. I mean, we would love to have a shortcut, but there is no shortcut over here. We have to go one by one and let people try the cigars and connect with our products. You know, there is so much that an ad can do. You get more out of having this conversation with your friends and your listeners than just putting an ad in the magazine. You know, all of the pieces serve a purpose, but nowadays it's that part, you know, the spreading the word and letting people smoke the cigars is part of the game. It's as I told you, it's even one of the challenges that we're facing now with the FDA and no free samples or none of that. So we're trying to figure out what to do in the future because that was part of the plan. How do we go and do better samplings, you know, tastings, and let people know the cigars and be part of it. So we're trying to figure out all that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's that's one of the things that we like to do here, and it works. This works really well, especially for this show, because we've got a bunch of Villiger cigars that we're going to be giving away later. You know, in maybe a year or so, we're not going to be able to do that anymore. Which that's the main idea of this show for you know, that Logan and I came up with about 5 years ago now, is we want to put the followers, our community, in touch with, you know, folks like yourself, the guys that maybe the guy who lives in, you know, I don't know, Omaha or something, and doesn't have a shop near him, and or lives up in Alaska and can't get to any events. This gives them an avenue to chat with you guys, and also gives them an avenue to try your cigars if they can't find them locally. But unfortunately, that's probably going to change.
It's true. It's gonna be challenging. So we need to find, you know, ways to get the cigars and the word to the people to give it a try and to get exposed them to the product. You know, that was the part. That was the best example of being a relationship one by one. My good friend Rocky Patel. Hey, listen, he was nonstop knocking on the doors and going to everybody and shaking hands and kissing the babies to build up his brand. So those days are about to change.
Yeah, that's it's, and you know, I think in the community that we have a member on Cigar Chat or Cigar Federation, one of our moderators. He loves the Trill. That's one of the cigars that he really, really likes. And Shooter commented in our chat room here. He says, "No more Trill?" Jared's going to be pissed off. But the Trill isn't going away, like you said. Was the Trill?
It's available. Holtz, and right now you can buy it, and it's not going away. It's just going to be a private label for Holtz.
Yeah, so that was the point I wanted to make. That some of these cigars that I mentioned, they're not necessarily going away. They're just going to be the avenue to get them is a little bit different. They're not going to be maybe available everywhere. They might just be a store exclusive. But Yeah, the store exclusives, those things, that concept too might be heading out the door. It's got, yes. The more that I don't want to talk about the FDA, because, and it, Renee, we talked a little bit offline, and I mean, I don't have a legal mind. I don't want to give any sort of advice to anyone, because don't take advice from me. You want to talk about like a beer that you should drink or a cigar that you should smoke? Sure, I can give you some advice. Like, tell me what you like, and I can point you in that direction. When it comes to the legalities of things, I don't know anything about it. And I know you're still, you know, trying to get up to speed on that too. So I don't want to go too far into it, but it's hard because every topic that we touch on has a hand reaching out into that FDA ruling. So that is just kind of a...
Absolutely. No, listen, the more that we try to evolve and think about new ideas, you know, you have to take in consideration the new regulations, because, listen, I was talking to somebody before all this came, and I said that, and I don't regret it, like, listen, that this industry needed some sort of regulation. What it's just that we weren't expecting this extreme of regulations. Mm-hmm. In order for us to plan better the future of our companies and the products and all that, you know, some regulation was needed, because we were just doing whatever we feel like, you know, in the industry, and that will give us a better path to plan for the future. But nobody was expecting, or at least we weren't, how can I put it? We didn't, I want to accept the reality that this was going to come with full force. We were expecting maybe the regulations another predicated day, but, you know, here it is. So we have to deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to roll through some more of these audience questions here. And we've got some that are more specific on blending and things like that. And we'll avoid that for the most part, because that's not really, blending isn't really your thing. Like you said, but you do know about the three different kinds of cigars.
I know. No, listen, and the ones that sell, the ones that don't sell, and the ones that I like. No, but listen, of course, I'm very familiar with all the blends. Let me try to rephrase that. I do go to the factories. I give my two cents of what is it that we have to make for the market regarding the strength, the flavor, the quality of the cigars, because I'm in the market, I'm in the stores. I do smoke an average of 4 cigars a day. 2 of them has to be cigars that I'm not commercially related, just because I need to know what's going on out there. Huh. If you ask me my preference as a smoker, I'm more into mild to medium. I personally do not enjoy the strong cigars, but I do smoke them on a regular basis because they sell. So again, that's part of the knowing what sells, what don't sell, and the ones that I like.
Yeah, getting to know your customer. So with this, since you like the stuff on the medium to mild side, mild to medium.
Yeah, mild to medium, yeah.
What would you classify this Sandoro Colorado as with the Nicaraguan Habano wrapper?
Actually, with the three of them, I'll tell you this. The Claro definitely is a mild cigar with a touch of flavor. The Colorado, it will be a mild to medium. It's a rich, tasty, but it's not that strong. And the Brazilian, the Maduro, is just a medium body. It has flavor. It has sweetness. It's like little sweetness and spicy. If I kind of put it, this is like a light sriracha. I don't know if you have tried the sriracha. It's kind of like that sweetness and spiciness at the same time. So, but no balance. So you, it's something that is different, because we don't tend to smoke that many Brazilian puros. So it's a different experience that I will always anybody to recommend. Go and check it out. You know, it's something different that you're going to enjoy.
So in a way, and Villiger has a like you said, a strong worldwide presence. And you guys are comfortable with the European smoker. It feels like this portfolio of cigars, these three main cigars that you guys are, these are kind of the main cigars of your portfolio, have kind of a European feel to them. When you start talking about the strongest cigar that you've got is in that medium range, is that something that you guys are, I mean, we talk about the modern palate here a lot, and that modern palate is craving the Ligero. They want the strength, they want the spice. Is that a direction that you guys are going to go in the future?
Absolutely. That's the reason that we call them our good friends of Loyola and Nicaragua.
Because there you go.
That they have the Ligeros to make some magic happen and to get that strength there. So, okay. So they're very good at it. You know, I always felt like the ones that put their first, for me, full body cigar were them with the Loyola and Nicaragua Antaño. So that's the reason. There's something there that we need to work, and they have the quality of tobaccos that we're looking for. Develop products for the future. So that's the reason. I mentioned a lot of them because, you know, we're looking to work very close with them for the new generation of products.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great great factory. We've done a few cigar safari trips with just Cigar Federation members. So we've got a bunch of members who have been out there and been to that factory, taken the tour, and even done some blending with them. I've done some blending with them as well. It's a lot of fun. But they make some great cigars, and they really do live on that that full-bodied side, that full-strength side of things, which feels like it's lacking from your portfolio. So it's to see or to hear that that's something that we can look forward to in the future, and I would imagine that we'll probably see that in about a month and a half.
Yes.
That along with everybody, like with the other 900 releases we're going to see in a month and a half. Another thing that we talked about offline, it's going to be interesting. There's some terms that I use to describe situations like that, but I can't say those here on the Armed Forces Radio Network because we have to follow FCC guidelines. So we'll just say that it's going to be a bit of a cluster. And we'll just leave it at that.
Yes. let's be nice.
Yeah, but when you want to go into that realm of cigars, I mean, who better to start with than the company that really kind of, depending on who you ask, really started it all with that Antonio. So that's good to hear.
We have other selections on the Dominican side, like La Libertad. Mm-hmm. Cigar Aficionado just gave us a 91, but still we are on the mild to medium side on those. Anything that we made in the Dominican Republic is on the light side. So you see, this was the portfolio that I still like. Okay, from the Europe. We can work with this in the market. There is a great portion of the market that is still more smoke and mild cigars, so we can create a niche for each one of them and then develop, but at least to have a great foundation with this, you know, very good cigar. You know, I could say that 40 to 50% of the cigar smokers smoke mild cigars. You know, not only mild cigars, but at point, you don't smoke strong cigars all the time.
Yeah. Some people do. Logan does. He just dropped off. But no, and you're right. I mean, like I said, we get especially when you talk about, you know, guys in the position that I'm in with the Cigar Federation and the members that we have. Everybody's talking about, you know, the Roma Crafts and the cigars of that nature that are definitely more on the full strength side, full body side. So it's easy for us to forget that, like you said, 50, 60, I've heard all the way up to 70, 80%. Of the cigar smokers out there are smoking mild to medium things. So it makes sense. I look at it and I feel like there's a big hole in that portfolio, and you guys are obviously addressing that, but maybe, I mean, I don't know the numbers. It's not my job to know whether there's a hole in that portfolio or not, frankly.
But listen, the idea is that's the reason I was telling you. I think that a good 50% of the US market sales is just mild cigars. And that's a vision that you even see more and more of the Connecticut wrappers from everybody coming to the market. And I think that is going to be a bigger, because now you have mild cigars with what I call personality. You know, mild cigar that has flavor, that have character. And that's the vision that, you know, these are because mild cigars that have some sort of personality. That it's not just a flat smoke, you have flavor.
Yeah. Your internet is locking up on us a little bit there, Renee. I'm hoping that you don't drop off, because then it just becomes a Rob show, and I can't answer any of these audience questions myself.
There,
are you still there, Renee? The internet crapped out on you a little bit, but we got the gist of what you were saying. I had a question here from Tracy Drew, and he wants to know the. Well, I assume it's a he. I guess it could be she. They want to know the positives and the negatives of having your headquarters now in Miami.
Listen, the positive is that it's easy. Like on Sunday, I'm taking a plane and I'm going to Dominican. And next weekend, I'm taking a plane and I'm going to Dominican. I'm just 4 hours away from it. And yeah. I can go, like on Sunday, I'm going Sunday nights. And 4th of July over here, I'll be working in the Dominican Republic, and then on Tuesday, I'll be back. So it's easy to move around, and the cost of the product, the transportation of the product, all that good stuff. So it helps us with the cost and that one. The bad part, we have it is bad. We have a division of pipe tobacco, and Florida has an 85% taxes on pipe tobacco.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So we have no choice to leave the pipe tobacco in Virginia and to keep the distribution in the state of Virginia, because with 85% in Florida, we'll be out of business of the pipe tobacco tomorrow. So we relocated.
Man, this internet is tough. So when I'll get Renee to paraphrase what he's saying here. He's talking about pipe tobacco, and the pipe tobacco taxes in Florida are really high. And I think he's talking about Virginia. So I think they base everything from pipe tobacco standpoint from in Virginia. Hopefully he can come back and clarify that. But there you are. Your internet connection was rough. So you were talking about pipe tobacco, and the taxes in Florida are crazy high. So you guys keep your pipe tobacco centered in Virginia? Is that the way? Did I get that right?
Yes. Okay. That's it. You know, we're gonna be just handling machine made and mates over here from Miami, and the pipe tobacco from Virginia, and it's just too much. You know, we will be out of the market if we add an 85% of our cost of the product.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. You can see my pipe rack here that was handmade by Shooter, was one of our Cigar Federation members. So thanks to Shooter for that pipe rack. And if you guys have watched past shows, you'll notice there's a couple of pipes missing, because I actually took out a pipe and smoked some pipe tobacco last night with my brother-in-law. I haven't smoked a pipe in a long time. And I don't think I've ever tried any of the Villiger offerings. I know that there's a bunch of them. And we do a pipe show as well, so we'll have to feature you guys there as well. That'd be fun.
Absolutely. You know, we have a couple of brands, and we're launching one at the IPCPR again before the FDA. We're putting a new one out there just in case.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So
it's not
Jared,
just for cigars. Remember, regulations is not just for cigars; it's for all tobacco. So.
Yeah. No, it is, and it's you know, pipes are getting hit just as hard, and that's another thing that we've talked about here on Cigar Federation. Just a reminder to the audience: you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in and spending some time with us. We're chatting with Renee Castaneda of Villiger Cigars. And this final segment is brought to you by Drew Estate. Got to check out the Drew Diplomat app. You can, just for smoking the Drew Estate cigars that you're probably smoking already, post some photos, and you can get some points and win some really cool exclusive Drew Estate stuff you can't really get anywhere else. So you got to check that out. Download it for your iPhone or Android. It's, you know, wherever you download apps. You guys know more about apps than I do, so you guys can go ahead and handle that. But yeah, no, I cracked the pipe out, and it was, and I realized how much, it's funny, I always think about smoking my pipe in the fall. Pipe feels very fall to me. The flavor profile for a lot of the aromatic stuff is in that, and that's when I want to smoke it. But I had popped one out last night and smoked, I don't remember exactly what I smoked. It was a Peterson Holiday blend, I think. Brother-in-law likes the aromatic stuff, and that was the first one I found, so we just grabbed that. But I think I'll be taking the pipe out for a spin more often. I really do enjoy it. My wife likes the smell, so she'll sit out there with me, and we can hang out. As opposed to when I'm smoking a cigar, for the most part, she tends to stay inside.
I use the pipe when I need a break, because the pipe requires your attention. The cigar, you can keep working, reading, doing whatever. The pipe, you have to pay attention to the pipe.
Smoking a pipe is definitely not as social as smoking a cigar. Although I was pretty happy with I packed a pretty good bowl last night, and I didn't have to relight it too often. The cherry stayed lit. I felt like I did a pretty good job, considering it's been, God, who knows, 7 or 8 months since I've smoked a pipe, since the fall, however long ago that was.
We're going to release a Villiger export brand, pipe tobacco. The name of our brand is Numizer. That's the one that we have in the U.S. now. Actually, we do pretty good with that brand. And we're releasing, you know, in a month, you know, by the IPCPR, we're going to be releasing a Villiger brand, a Villiger export pipe tobacco.
Villiger expert or export?
Export.
Okay, export. Okay, cool. Yeah, and Jared is one of our mods here. He does the pipe show, so he's going to be going around doing some pipe interviews, so he's definitely going to come by and talk to you guys at IPCPR, so that'll be great.
Thank you.
So can you tell us anything about some of the cigar, the premium handmade blends you guys are going to come out with at IPCPR? Is any of that information available, or do we have to wait?
Actually, we have to wait a little bit because, as you know, here's the tricky part, and it's not it's a secret, but it's not a secret because it's part of the regulations. We don't have enough room to create new blends because we have to work with pre-2007 regulations. So that's when it becomes tricky, and that's a part that we're using the expertise of the factories that are working with us to make sure that we are in compliance with all the new laws. So that's the reason that we're in the final stage on those, but to make sure that we have the legalities in place to take care of that, okay?
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
That's the reason that I cannot give you the detail because we're finalizing that legal part of everything.
Ah, who cares about legal stuff?
You think? You think about a year ago, you having a conversation, cigars and legalities? Like, no, that didn't go together.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. That's funny. So, with is one thing I'm going to ask, and I've been to IPCPR a few times. We, I think the first time you and I met in person was IPCPR last year. The Villiger booth, it's got a nice look to it. And they always have the Villiger girls there, which is nice. But it's been the same. I've been to IPCPR four times. It's been the same every time. Are you guys going with the same booth this year?
No. You will see something completely, absolutely different. We'll see. It will be different. We want to make it new, fresh, and try to, for the new approach in line with everything that we're trying to do. So you will see that part. You will miss the beautiful girls. We won't have it. Meaning La Capitana won't be there, or the Tobayana Indian girl won't be there. Some girls helping us with the bar. We will have a bar, so you're more than welcome to come to the bar.
Nice.
but you will see. It's a completely different approach. It's more like a lifestyle booth.
Nice. Now, is there a Villiger rum or something floating around there that I don't know about?
No, but we have very good partners that will provide all the rum for
us. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, no, it's funny. It's funny. You have some of these conversations, and we've been doing this show for a while, and you have guys on, and like, oh yeah, we make rum too. It's like, whoa, I didn't know you made rum. That was my first question. But yeah, the bar is there. We'll see you first thing in the morning, and then every hour after that. No, that would not work if you've ever been on the show floor. And you're running around doing, 30 interviews a day like we are, you realize pretty quick that visiting the bar early in the morning, that's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. Again, to summarize, we at Villiger, we're trying to, it's a work in progress. We just started, I took over in February. And again, we're trying to clean some stuff, organize some others, and now trying to get the original plan that we have in line with the new regulations. So again, we were supposed to be a little bit ahead of the game, but are now trying to adjust to the new reality of the cigar industry. So that's the part. But it's a work in progress. You will see more different things, more approach, more a new identity, a new image, a new thing for Villiger, a new everything. But at the same time, going back to the history of this company, we have 128 years in business. It's not like this company started yesterday. So there is, let me just to give you an idea. We haven't had the need to take one picture for our campaigns just because the files of history of pictures that we have is so big that there is enough material to work between now and the next 2 years. With our approach of using the history of the company.
Okay, so I think you just answered my follow-up question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And with a company like Villiger, I think it makes sense to talk about this. Now, that predicate date of January 2007 obviously is a big deal for a manufacturer. Now, do you think that it's more important for Villiger to focus on, and I feel like you already answered this, but I'm asking anyway, focus on those brands that will be grandfathered in, or trying to get some new things on the market before that August 8th deadline of getting new things on the market that can be available for the next few years? Or maybe a combination of both.
It's a combination of both because, to keep it in simple language, we pay the bills with the machine mates. Mm-hmm. So that, for the most part, is grandfathered in. So we have the peace of mind that the financial part of the company could be taken care of because of that one, and that will give us a chance to evolve on the handmade side of the business and to evolve with that one. And I'm going to throw something over here, and please don't ask me any follow-up questions about the following statement. We're also considering an acquisition of a company. That could be a possibility, too. With these new regulations, that could be we need to acquire a company and move on and make this easier instead of trying to build that brand.
Wow.
But please don't ask follow-up questions on that one.
So which company is it? Oh, come on. I got to ask. You know, it's all you have to say is no comment. But I have to
no comments. No comments.
There you go.
No comments.
I mean, you guys are in a unique position where, and like you said, I mean, your bread is buttered with the machine-made cigars. And for the most part, the guys watching the show or listening, you know, to our podcast, they probably don't smoke machine-made cigars. Maybe some of them do. So we're not really the target demographic for that. But that puts you in a unique spot where, like I said, your bread is buttered there. You know that stream of income is still, it's still going to be okay for the most part. As things stand, things are going to change. Who knows? But that can give you that financial base to try and move forward with some new blends, like you were saying. So it is a little bit of a combination of the two, where you can introduce some new cigars, and if you know, you have to go through this process of, you know, paying to keep them on the market with your machine-made background or backbone, I should say, you guys might be able to be you can afford to do that.
Now, again, if we didn't have the machine-made cigars and we were living just out of the premium handmade, we would have to close doors tomorrow. You know, we don't sell enough of that one. Our presence is just in the early stages now. You know, as I told you, we're just trying to organize and try to see if we develop an identity for the Billiger cigars. So I'm pretty sure that most of the people listening to the show, they have tried, maybe they have seen a brand over there. So it's a work in progress to develop and to create that identity for the handmade cigars and to make sure that the people can connect with our products.
Yeah.
We were able to develop on the machine-made side a product that is the premium of the machine-made cigars. So we want to make sure, and I think on the machine-made, we have a great quality product, very unique. And for your listeners, if you ever get a chance to see a Billiger Expert, try it. It's a very good, it's the only box press machine-made cigar.
Interesting.
Will see it. It's pretty much anywhere. You get it anywhere. In any premium cigar shop in the U.S., you're going to be able. And, of course, worldwide, even more.
Sure.
But that gives us the resources to be able to develop in the premium cigar business.
Interesting. Yeah, you guys – and then talk about acquisition. So you guys are – instead of in – I mean, we talked to a different company every week, so we get a different take on it, and it's just interesting for me to try to digest where these different companies are coming from. When you talk to a company like, I'll use Crowned Heads for an example, because they weren't around in 2007, and they make some fantastic cigars that I really enjoy, but their approach moving forward is going to be very different than your approach.
Absolutely.
Because you guys have that, you're from a unique background. At least for the guests that we have, because we don't have, I mean, Drew Estate has that background of the flavored cigars, and they've been around forever, the acids. So that's really where they're, we all love the Liga Privadas and you know, the Dirty Rats and all that stuff. But, I mean, their bread's buttered with the flavored cigars. So, or infused, or I don't know what the correct terminology is. But, so you guys are in almost a very similar position as them. And I think, from the standpoint of the guys listening to the show and, you know, active on the Cigar Federation, they probably don't think of Villiger in the same vein that they think of Drew Estate, but you guys are similar type companies. And this is, you're really in a position to be a bit more aggressive in the climate, in the current political climate of the industry than most companies. That's interesting. I never really thought about it that way.
Now listen, if we are smart enough to navigate through this transition and these regulations, we can position ourselves, you know, to be for the people to see us as a serious players on the premium cigar segment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the plan that we have.
Yeah.
So again, that's a reason that is a lot of technicalities going on, and that's maybe the reason that I'm sitting over here, because, you know, I'm the one that being pragmatic all my life, trying to take things and make sure that they make sense in a simple way.
Yeah, no, that's good. So you're, I was looking for your website today, and your website is still under construction. When is that going to launch?
Actually, we will have it for the ITCPR. When I took over the first week that I was in this position, I shut down the website in order to make a new thing and everything to be aligned with the image that we're presenting presenting at the show.
Okay, so we can expect to see that probably within the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. So we're just right up against the end of the show, our Armed Forces Radio segment here. So Renee, let everybody know where they can find Villiger Cigars. I mean, obviously the website is under construction. It will be up in the next few weeks. But you're getting more active on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the crazy Pinterest, all that nonsense. So let everybody know where they can find the most recent information about Villiger, other than CigarFederation.com, obviously.
No, listen, to follow us in Villiger Cigar USA, in Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, even my social media accounts, we try to put all the information that we're doing these days. And I'm, you know, working with guys like you. You see the information in all the magazines and all everything that we're trying to do. And we try to be very active and involved in the cigar community these days. So anything that we can do and help with anybody in the cigar community, hey, we're here to be part of it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. We're right up at the end of our Armed Forces segment. Thanks everybody who tuned in. I was out there in the world today. Like I say, every week you guys are built to do something that I'm not built to do. I have nothing but respect for you and everything that you guys do to keep us safe around the world. Everybody have a great and hopefully safe and relaxing 4th of July weekend. Enjoy the barbecue. Have a couple of nice cigars, maybe a beer or two, and enjoy yourself. Spend time with your family. I hope you guys can do that. We'll be back next week. And this is Logan supposed to be the one who tells me who's coming up next week. And, oh, we've got Gurkha Cigars coming on next week. So that'll be interesting. We've never had Gurkha on the show. So that should be some fun. So you'll find us next Thursday. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. And we'll see you on CigarFederation.com. Okay, we're back. Logan would say we're fucking back. Shit, bitch, cock balls. You can say all that stuff. We've got the explicit warning on our podcast on iTunes, so we figure we may as well earn it, right? So we, it's funny when you guys don't always see. You guys never see this. In fact, talking to the listeners and the viewers, I have to do that spiel before the show every time, and with every guest, whether we've had them on or not. I have to remind them, look, the first 58 minutes is Armed Forces Radio segment, and you can't say shit, bitch, fuck, cock, whatever. And if you say, if you're talking and you say, oh, well, you know, we had this fucking thing. Oh, shit, I said fuck. Oh, fuck, I said shit. Don't do that. If you say something, we'll move forward. We'll go edit it out. But Renee, we've chatted a few times, and I knew it wasn't going to be a problem with you. But certain guests.
Well, you put it this way. I'm trying to sound presidential here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you have the president on, you know, you've got to be. You have to be presidential, exactly. And you have to talk like this, where you have your thumb out. You know, I always like that when they're at the pulpit and they're
talking to everybody. Yeah.
No, I knew it wasn't going to be a problem with you, but there's certain guests where it's like, okay, I know that in post production, John's going to be busy bleeping out a few things, but I knew that wasn't going to be a problem here. So we've got some giveaways. And I know that we've got some of the I think we're just giving away the Sandoros. We're giving away the Colorado. I know the Claro, the Connecticut.
Yeah.
And I didn't get any samples of the Maduro, so I'm not sure if you had any of those in the packages, but you guys will see when they arrive. I've picked four winners tonight, and then we're going to pick some random winners. So you guys are all going to email Logan. And this, I mean, I'm not just doing this because he's not here. You always have to email Logan for your prizes. And we're going to pick a couple of podcast winners as well. So the winners tonight, in I guess in order of when I really asked your questions, Matt Rosenthal, even though you're a mod, for whatever reason, we don't ever send you stuff. So we're going to let you win tonight. Matt, you're a winner. Swede Lindstrom is a winner. Tracy Drew and Dasher 1985, D-A-S-R 1985. You asked a question. I didn't get to it. But so those four, you guys are going to win. Email Logan at CigarFederation.com, and the subject line, put Villiger, and then in parentheses, put winner, and I'll let Logan know who those winners are. Now, if you didn't win, you could still get a chance to win. Logan's going to pick some random guys. And for podcast winners, the same thing. Email Logan at CigarFederation.com. Subject line, put Villiger Cigars. If you're listening on the podcast, put podcast in the subject line. Everyone has to include a statement saying that they are old enough to purchase tobacco in their current jurisdiction for legality reasons. And if you're listening on podcast, let us know what podcast service you use. If you use iTunes or whatever, the Podbean or whatever the hell the other ones are. Let us know what you guys are listening on, because we'll appreciate that. And Logan usually just sends stuff out, so you're not going to know until it shows up in your mail. It's like a Christmas day in the middle of July when you get some Villiger cigars that you weren't expecting. So we do ask that you know, post some things on social media, tag Cigar Chat, tag Cigar Federation, tag Villiger Cigars as well. Renee, anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't get into?
Pretty much, I think we cover all the bases. Just to give us a chance as your local retailer, you know, for our cigars. And whenever you see a Villiger cigar, hey, give it a try. You'll be surprised. You'll be impressed.
Yeah, I've enjoyed this the Colorado. And again, I mean, I'm getting down to the band here, but it's more definitely on the mild side for me. But it had a lot of nice flavor to it, nice creaminess. I would treat this the same way that I would treat like most Connecticut wrap cigars. I have it in the morning with a cup of coffee, something like that. And I actually paired it with a Founders Porter, which is a pretty heavy beer, and the pairing went pretty well. So it's on the lighter side, but it still has enough flavor to stand up to a big dark beer like that. So maybe we'll do some. We have a pairing show as well, so we'll feature some Villiger stuff on the pairing show as well. Coming up. Renee, really do appreciate it, and we'll probably catch up with you again after IPCPR when you can talk about those new releases, and we'll talk about the acquisition of whoever you just acquired and all that stuff. We'll have a lot to talk about, so we'll hopefully be able to catch up with you maybe in August, September, and chat again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Great. Appreciate it, Renee. Really do appreciate it. Guys, thanks for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. Appreciate it. We'll find you on CigarFederation.com. We talk about apps. If you have not downloaded the Cigar Federation app, then that's just silly. You should download the Cigar Federation app. And it's you can get it on any phone that you want. And it's pretty cool. The chat room function is on there. Everything's on there. So you can tune in on the app. You can tune in to live shows on the app, too. So you'll have to check that out. Guys, thanks so much. We'll see you on CigarFederation.com. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. And enjoy your 4th of July extended holiday. And if you're not taking tomorrow off, that's a misstep on your part. Basically, you should have. You should have planned ahead and taken tomorrow off.
We're going to think about that one tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to have tomorrow. Yeah, are you taking tomorrow? You're the president. You get to take tomorrow off, right?
Oh, brother. It was the end of the month. Tomorrow I need to work.
He says, no, I don't get to take any days off. I'm working tomorrow, and then I'm on a plane, and you're all over the place. No, that's the life of the cigar industry.
It's, crazy, it's also the crazy times that we're living on, so it's part of the package, being dealing with all this crap.
Absolutely. But hopefully it all comes to a good fruition. Appreciate that. Absolutely. Thanks, Renee. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.